All right, everyone, we're going to go ahead and reconvene. Looking at the consent agenda, I think we need to pull item 3, though, and continue that to the next regularly scheduled meeting. That's the accounts payables.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Within those payables, there's a payment made to the company that I work with. So I have fiduciary or a pecuniary interest in that. So we'll go ahead and we'll continue item 3 of the consent agenda to the next regularly scheduled commission hearing.
And then if you can also note, we really don't, we had number 8, Justice Court update and introduction of the new court services officer. We're going to postpone that to another meeting.
So should we just continue it to the next meeting?
No, we'll figure that one out.
Okay,
so we're going to continue. Under the consent agenda, we're going to continue item 3.
Yes.
And then we're going to go ahead and take item number 8, the Justice Court update and introductions. We're going to continue that until the next regularly scheduled meeting.
Correct. Thank
you. All right. Any public comment regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, if I can get a motion.
I'll motion to approve today's agenda for January 17, 2017.
Okay, with the stipulation of continuing those two items?
With the stipulation continuing item 3 of the consent agenda and item 8 of the consent agenda.
Very good. Second your motion to move to second to approve today's consent agenda with those notations. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 4, this is discussion and possible action approval of the minutes for December the 6th, 2016. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes for December the 6th? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for December 6th, 2016.
And I'll second that motion. Been moved to second to approve the minutes for December the 6th, 2016. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 5. We've basically approved this, but we'll go over it again. Any other public comment regarding item 5, the consent agenda? So we'll go ahead and definitely get a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve today's consent agenda, of course, noting that item 3 and item 8 are continued.
Second to motion. Been moved and second to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Move along now to item number 6. Discussion only. We'll take no action to public comment. These are committee and staff reports. We'll start with Sheriff Antonoro.
Just a couple of things. Of course, I'm sure everybody here is going to talk about the big storm and everything that was done. And we pulled lots of people out of ditches and everything during the storm, so pretty much business as usual during bad weather. Did want to give some recognition to CERT, though. They came out on several occasions helping with traffic control and just leading up to the flooding event. They were down searching along the riverbanks in a joint effort with Washoe County and Sparks to make sure that all the homeless people had been moved out away from the river. And then, like I say, the folks up here helping out with traffic control and anything that we needed. So appreciate what they do for us. The only other thing is, just so you have update on it, our contract with a phone service provider in the jail is getting ready to expire. I delivered a new contract from a new provider to the district attorney's office this morning for review. Hoping to go with them. It'll be a better program for the inmates. It'll be an all-inclusive program that will provide for commissary, phone services, and give us some new possibilities as far as video visitation with inmates. So should be able to allow for a little bit better visitation and service for them, and a better deal financially for us. So, any questions?
Is that a special kind of service or something?
It's a service that's provided by a company called Turnkey. They do commissary products. They have kiosks that handle that. It's part of that program that the video visitation, instead of having to have a room designated for visitation, if you wanted to go visit Pat when we throw him into Hoosco, you can sit out in the lobby and look at the video camera, and he would be back there in the designated area for him, and you guys could talk back and forth. It's still a time thing, monitored thing, but it allows a little bit of latitude for the correction officers.
So does this work in conjunction with the AT&T service that we have?
Well, it'll be. I'm not sure how it works as far as how it ties into the phone system. I think it's a closed circuit system that it'll be from the lobby to the cell area.
Oh, okay. Right. So it's more of an internal service.
Right. It's not an internet-based program where you can sit in your living room and visit with somebody at the gym.
Okay.
Sounds like a good program that Deputy Dosen had done. He had to explain that to Pat and I when we did the jail inspection a few weeks ago. So, yeah, sounds like a good program. Good enough. Thank you, Sheriff. We're going to start in the back of the room with the VCTC, Mr. Dotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Last week, the VCTC unfortunately wasn't able to meet due to the weather and all that was happening. But what we did, what we're going to accomplish was to release a video that we just did, a compilation of all of last year's events, and then release this 2017 calendar. This year's a mock, kind of showing kind of the main events that we have lined up for 2017. So we can all kind of build from there. And again, we'll be releasing a video on this, be publicizing it, and then tie it in with a marketing campaign, which includes some TV to kick off the year. So nothing really big on the changes for next year. The rodeo date changed a little bit. We moved it out of the week of the camels, so we're not back-to-back with that, to give staff and the town a chance to breathe. With that, it did look like another special event on Saturday. With all the equipment, the National Guard, and all the folks on C Street, no place to park, kind of reminded me of a special event. I just wanted to pass on how much the merchants do appreciate the work from the way several people, agencies, the county did to allow them to do some business over the weekend. So it had been a rough week for them, and very much appreciated. So with that, that's really all I have.
Any questions for Dave?
We'll discuss later on V&T stuff.
That meeting today, the V&T commission, okay. Yeah, they're going down, Jack, with Hugh.
Actually, we have a meeting after this meeting in my office, if you can stop.
I'll be there.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Jenny. Director of Security, Melanie Keene.
Nothing today.
Thank you, Melanie. Okay. Director of Communications, Mr. Ballard.
Good morning, Dave Ballard, Story County Communications. Just to kind of give you guys a couple updates on things that occurred over the last week. I'm sure you heard of it. There was quite a bit of water down at the jail that came off the hillside. When I got the call Sunday afternoon about 1:30, 2 o'clock from dispatch, they said they were starting to take water in the jail. We were able to get in there. By the time I got there, the water was already all the way into the sally port. It was in the booking room. I got the server room door open. There was about an inch of standing water. I was able to get a squeegee, and with the help of Tony Dozen, one of the inmate trustees, and a couple other deputies, we were able to get the water out. But we were probably about an inch away from losing about $500,000 worth of equipment. We kind of got lucky. We got all that out. Outside the back of the building, the water was about knee-high. and we had to have Greg Hess come down and trench the back of the lot, put about a maybe about 150-foot trench, about 3 feet deep all the way across to get it to drain. So right now it's probably in pretty good shape, but we're going to have to look at it in a little bit. I did get some damage to some equipment, but we can deal with that when we get a chance to. Overall, everything went pretty well. We did lose a mountaintop. Actually, we lost two mountaintops during the storm. We lost south down Lyon County. Their generator quit working on Como and took them a couple days to get that up and running. It's working now. And the other one we had is north on Pond Peak out there by Wadsworth. That one is still down at this time. I think it's covered in ice, but I'm not certain. I did talk to Sierra Electronics a little while ago, and they said they were going to probably have an answer here in a little bit, probably about by 11 o'clock, if they're going to be able to get up there or not tomorrow. The road washed away, and then on top of the snow, they weren't sure what they could do. But AT&T has equipment up there that's down. Sierra Electronics has some equipment that's down. And, of course, we're down, so it's kind of a priority for everyone. So we're hoping if it all goes well, we're going to be able to get up there tomorrow. I'm thinking it's just probably everything's encased in ice, and there's probably not much we can do about it, but we're going to have to wait until they get up there to find out for sure. To answer the question you asked earlier about the new jail phone system that's coming in, it's all IP-based. It's going to tie into the network and go from there. I don't think it has anything to do with AT&T or anything. It's just all IP-based. And that's all I have.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Community Relations Director Dean Haymore.
Did you call me?
Yeah. Are you catching up on your sleep over there?
No, no. You said community relations.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That was Sherry. Dean Haymore. My office has been put in charge of doing the preliminary damage assessment during the events. My office put a good packet together for EOC. We're somewhere an initial of $6.3 million worth of damages throughout the county right now. We are constantly, now, my office has been in charge of taking all damage assessment to private residents, GIDs, LLSCCs, all different kind of departments and organizations throughout the county. Just as I left, they just got another phone call on some damage on the Truckee River. So I've asked Austin to give me the boundaries of that new 600 acres. So I can tell it's on the Washoe County side, just past the McCarran Bridge. I will go down after this meeting and start looking at that. We're responding to LCCs, damage to roads, looking at our own roads. Luckily at Tri, we didn't have that much damage. Everything worked. The biggest damage was to a road for Tesla that they just put in on Sydney, and should have that repaired and back open up. If not today, tomorrow, I think, is the plan to get that. So this will be ongoing, and if and when it is declared a president disaster declaration, then we will start another whole process with the federal government. But we have a lot of the paperwork in order, and then we will have to go out to every site again and measured in detail under their guidelines. I will probably take all of my staff to that briefing once it happens. We've been through this before, and then invite other organizations that would need to go through briefings and things under different kind of coverages through the federal government when a disaster happens, through Small Business Administration loans and everything else for the price of private residents. We are going to take a report from everybody that claims it and put that report and get their information so we have that. And it's not my job to make a decision if it's covered or not. That will be the federal government through their different programs if we get that far. So that's where we're at as of today. It's ongoing, and we are working with the EOC and the county team throughout on all this flood mitigation. And still trying to keep going construction on the big projects that are going forward. Still have more projects coming in daily. that will be submitted and started down in the industrial park and some residents and garages throughout the Highlands and Mark Twain, things like that. We're getting plans daily. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for Dave?
No.
Okay, great. Thanks, Dean. Okay, now we'll try community relations again. We'll bring, ask Sherry.
And that report's on Dropbox, and we can invite you to Dropbox, too, so you have time.
Okay.
I'm going to pass. I think others will take care of the activities of the last few weeks.
All right. Great. Thanks, Sherry. Director of Emergency Management, Joe Curtis.
Joe Curtis, Emergency Management. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, as you're certainly well aware, you know, it's been a pretty quiet week all week. We haven't had much happening. I'm not quite sure where to start, but I will say, January 4th, is when we first started having problems with water down in the Mark Twain area and started getting calls of people getting water and various and sundry problems where the water is, the drainage problems. What happened during that time, and I realized was that as a result of the way Mark Twain is laid out and the residences and homes and so forth that are been put in there over the years, people started digging their own trenches and little drainages around their houses and so forth, and it has seriously altered the natural drainage of the area that's where it's coming down out of the west, out of the mountains, and down into the Mark Twain area. Then we occasionally have problems with people who want to jump in and do things, and they believe that they're helping, and they believe that they're really trying to accomplish things. And most often, they probably are helping to some degree, but that creates new ditching and new problems that alter the natural course of waters through the area. But we addressed those out in the field on as early as Wednesday the 4th, and then Thursday the 5th, and then by Saturday, the 6th, I guess it was, is we actually declared emergency along with Washoe County, Douglas County, Carson City, and Lyon County. So the whole region were in a declaration area. Since that time, on behalf of Dean's office, of community development, they did a Herculean effort of the preliminary damage assessments for the problems that we ran into. And I don't want to get into the individual department stuff that they did, because I'd like for them to tell you what they accomplished within their own departments. But I will say, in reference to the preliminary damage assessments, that I see preliminary damage assessments from all surrounding counties on a fairly regular basis when we have these things. I've never seen from any other county as quickly and as complete and as effective a preliminary damage assessment as what Dean's office put together in rapid fashion. It's going to make our ability to go to the feds for FEMA specifically for potential assistance on what we had to do during the course of this rain and snow emergency. The state of Nevada Department of Emergency Management, or Division of Emergency Management, has been extremely responsive to the needs of the five counties in the immediate area, and are currently using our preliminary damage assessment reports, as well as those from Washoe, Douglas, Lyon, and Carson, to prepare a request for a presidential declaration, which they tell me they're probably be able to obtain such. So it's looking good in that direction. As we progressed through this incident and furred, if you will, from rain over into the snow. We had a significant amount of snow, and we began having problems with some of the back countries of the highlands, that people were virtually stranded, snowed in and stranded back in the back country of the highlands. Consequently, we had several rescues that actually had to take place, people requesting evacuation out of the area, people can't get out their driveways, and so forth. The highlands homeowners, people, the 10s and the 20s, specifically Jay Carmona and Gary Brownwell. These two guys, and I believe they have a couple of other helpers that help them with it, they did some amazing things to try to clear the roads. The problem is that in the highlands, the amount of snow was greater than the ability of their equipment. And so they came to us asking if there was any way we could help, and Jason Van Havel jumped in and offered assistance, and we started getting those things cleared. So between the county and the homeowners associations, the clearance of those roads out there happened fairly quickly and got widened out. And then between the bunch of them, they started getting people out of their areas. We did have to request a snowmobile, or correction, a snow cat, from Washoe County Sheriff's Department on one of the days to get into a particular fella and evacuate him out, because he had no fuel, no food, and no fuel for his generators, no access out. Got him out in short order. We had another one that we had to deal with, which was actually down in 7 Mile Canyon, that is an individual that was shut in and couldn't get out, and we had to get another snow cat to get down into them, take them food, fuel, and water. They had some illnesses, so we did not move them out of the area. We spent an awful lot of time, I say Jason primarily, spent an awful lot of time arranging to get sand to the various 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 districts, to be able to have people fill their own sandbags, as well as the Nevada Division of Forestry crews that we brought in filling sandbags. Those guys saved our whatevers by making the effort to fill sandbags for us, and they did that for about 3 days or 4 days straight, filling sandbags. When we needed to clear snow on C Street, we learned that Nevada Division of Transportation was overwhelmed in all areas of the north here, trying to do what they needed to do with apparently not enough people. So here again, we arranged for more equipment out of both private contractors and through Nevada Division of Emergency Management. We got National Guard, really cool-looking dump trucks that they had, and got that stuff cleared off of C Street, because we need to get the businesses back into operation. And then the prisoners came back in, the crews, the NDF crews, and opened little spaces for people to be able to get from C Street to the businesses. So it's been a tremendous effort in a number of directions, with a number of outside resources, from private contractors to forestry department to National Guard to state emergency management to local businesses, providing materials and supplies for lunches for all of us in the emergency coordination center, and we've come through it really well. So to this point, I have just tremendous, and I've said this before, but it just never ceases to amaze me in all my years here in town, that when things like this happen, this is an amazing community, that not only county government employees, but citizens, just we all come together and we get through these incidents and we make it happen, whatever it is we have to do. It's comforting to know that we have such a team that the county has put together that works in such an effective and friendly and accomplished manner that everything happens together. And it makes it easy. It makes dealing with these things very easy for the most part. Sometimes it gets hectic, but it works out very well. We're looking this weekend. We have two storms coming in. We have one on Wednesday night, Thursday morning. But it's looking like that might bring us 2, 3, maybe 4 inches of snow, not a lot. Some 45 mile an hour winds. So think in those terms. But and then we have another one coming in for Friday, Saturday, and into Sunday. And that one, specifically talking about the Comstock, could bring us potentially another foot of snow. It's amazing, a foot of snow piles up too high. And you've all been around town and you've seen the piles of snow. So we're probably going to run into some plowing issues this weekend as well. But it's kind of classified as more of a normal winter type of storm. But it'll create some problems because of what's already on the ground. I thank the commissioners, the two of you, Mr. McBride and Mr. McGuffey, and for spending time that you did in the Emergency Coordination Center, because you don't see that in other emergency coordination centers and emergency operations centers with, you know, that type of thing. And I've been in quite a few of them in emergency situations. So thank you for supporting what we did, what we're doing, where we're going. And County Manager Pat Whitten was there the whole time, not feeling very well, I suspect, for the most part, because you could hear it in his voice. But he was there the whole way, as was everybody. I mean, I could go on naming everything. My closest associate that works so close with me that I just absolutely rely on is Sherry Nevin. Sherry is, it makes me look good. I just appreciate everybody's cooperation. I never heard a single argument between anybody about, well, I can't do this, well, you better do that, or that. None of that. Not even in the least way did that occur. So we'd call out a certain situation and somebody would say, I got that handled. I can deal with that. Jennifer McCain, Vanessa was there. I don't think Vanessa said 4 words most of the time. The time that when she was dead. Vanessa tracked everything that was going on in there. In a certain kind of, we have a call, it's called a web-based emergency operations center log. And she tracked everything that was going on in there. It always worried me, you know, you say something, I don't know if she wrote that down or not. Hope she didn't, but that kind of thing. But she tracked all that stuff. Melissa was there a day and did a great job, you know. So everybody that was in there, Austin, it was interesting to watch Austin start out with the public information, a little bit unsure of where he was going and how big his report, his releases should be, down to the end when he had it really dialed in and figured out finally exactly what was needed for this. The next time we have something like this, whether it's next week, a year down the road, whatever it is, you can be assured that your staff of the county is capable of handling the situation and is going to come together to take care of it. Any questions?
The painted rock bridge, when we took a tour and we were watching trees washed up against it near the roadway level, and they were going to send out a crane or something to try to pull those off. Did that ever happen?
It did. We acquired two excavators from F&P Construction. And when we requested them, I don't think that it was more than an hour, maybe an hour and a half, and they had them there on site. They had two of them, a small one that they could put on the bridge to reach over and pull stuff out, and a big one they could reach off from the bank. And when I went down there and viewed it a day or so later, there was nothing caught up against the bridge. There was a little branches and stuff and so forth, but it was all piled off to the side. They did a wonderful job. Let me mention F&P, Peak. I think those were the two primary. Was there other?
Q&D,
that's right. These guys, when we called them, all three of them, when we requested assistance for a dump trucks, front loaders, whatever it was, they said, you bet, we'll get them, and we'll get them there. And they were here in rapid fashion. It's just, they were, you know, they're not cheap, and but they didn't gouge, I don't think, either. You know, some of these companies will gouge you, and I have not heard anything to that degree. But those three companies, Peak, F&P, and Q&D, should be commended for jumping in and coming to our assistance. And they'll be remembered for that. Any other questions?
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, Director of Public Works, Jason Vanderbilt. I think you were introduced as baptism by flood and storm.
Jason Van Abel for the record, Director of Public Works. Guys, thank you for the hazing. It's been a good time. Okay. The past 2 weeks, Joe highlighted a tremendous amount of activity that's been going on. Just a couple of things. During Wednesday the 4th and Thursday the 5th, there was a snow event in the county that was one of the larger ones we've seen in years. Wasn't massive, but it was very notable. So right on the heels of that, we had the water issue starting in Mark Twain. We had personnel stationed on the Friday the 6th down in Mark Twain pretty much round the clock to be able to maintain the drainage systems down there so the water could move through the neighborhood and to the directions to cause the least amount of damage. On Saturday the 6th, as the rain event really started taking shape, again, we had personnel maintained positions down in Mark Twain, in Lockwood, and monitoring other activities around the county. As we get into Sunday the 8th, during that 24-hour period, or during a 24-hour period, the rain gauge at my house in the Highlands registered just over 3.25 inches of rain, which is more than which is a little bit more than half of the annual average in that area, and that hit in a 24-hour period. At some point during that weekend, we had to close Canal Road to public traffic because the water level was up to the bridge. We had to close Canyon, close Lousetown, close Sam Clemens, Six Mile Canyon, and as you know, on Six Mile Canyon, we lost a culvert down there and the pavement pavement with it for a section. Sam Clemens, Sutro Springs, Territory. As of right now, all of those roads are back open to the public except for parts of Canyon and Six Mile Canyon. The rest of those are open and operational. Lousetown is wounded. We started to put some of that back together before another snow event happened on the 9th and 10th where it kind of snowed that in, and we also had directed what attention we had left onto putting 6 Mile back together to try to get that open for emergency services. As we got through the week, we had very significant snow activities, and of course we were taxed tremendously trying to get to those snow events to try to keep the county open and operational, and then we also ran into the issues that were alluded to in the Highlands of stranded people, and so we dispersed some of our equipment out there to address some of that. Our equipment wasn't necessarily the best equipment for the job, but it got the job done, and we have some down equipment at this point, so we're a little short on equipment compared to where we were 2 weeks ago, but we were able to get to those people and get them unstranded. As of about 11 o'clock Sunday morning, the last of the stranded residents in the Highlands had access to be able to get out. The last two roads that needed to get to were Fandango and Hanapaw, and those were opened. As we closed activities the night of Saturday the 14th, many personnel within Public Works for that previous seven-day period had logged somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 hours during that previous week. Tremendous effort. And at the next county commission meeting, Mother Nature willing, I'm going to bring my crew in, or as many of my personnel as possible, because I would like the commissioners to see these people, these men, who put forth that kind of effort for their community and for their public, because they're not robots, they're real people and families. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for them. And I wanted to share that with you. I don't have much else to say.
Is there any questions for Jason?
No.
Great.
Great
job. Thank you. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you for the presentation. You deserved it.
Okay, Director of Planning and Human Resources, Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioner. I'm going to be pretty short today because most of what is said is said. I think Jill Curtis could not have said better about our team efforts in this entire project. And, you know, working with this project here and talking with regional agencies, members of the public, citizens that called in about various either concerns or questions or assistance, other commissions, you know, everybody in the region that was involved, it was pretty evident to them of what was going on up here when they see private contractors on the roads and they see National Guard and they see the NDF and all of the news publications and all the team working together. It was quite evident that Story County had it together and was really the leader in this mess that we had. So pretty fun stuff. Just one little thing to let you know, there was a lot of questions on State Route 342, whether it's open, whether it's closed, whether it's open or it's closed. That went back and forth, I don't know, 100 times. But anyway, at this point, I think a couple of us I saw going down there and testing it. It is open to local traffic either way. They'll let you go through. But the PIO down there for NDOT gave me an email just about an hour ago that says the road should be fully, completely open this afternoon or evening, maybe tomorrow. I did go down there the weekend and saw they had 8 or 9 guys down there all weekend with a backhoe or a loader and some other equipment, rebuilding the banks up there against the creek there that had eaten into the side of the road and where the guard railing was hanging off kind of on its own. So they have been down there working and trying to get that road reopened completely. So that's good news. Other than that, it doesn't really look like there's any other damage along 342. The new portions of the road fared up very well. You know, the areas all over down there look excellent. Didn't even see really any wash across the road. They maintained and kept that pretty clean. Talking, I know you've heard me say this a lot, but I just want to remind us, the Mark Twain community, that it'll be this year. It'll be this spring and this summer that the Carson Water Subconservancy District is on its new budget. And that new budget includes Story County as part of the charter and as part of that organization and flood planning for the Mark Twain Estates area. And that will be this year when we start solidifying exactly what will occur. And next year will be the time that we'll probably have a plan finished and final draft. And then it could be the third, maybe the fourth year, you know, as optimistically looking, where we might have some monies and availability to do some actual real mitigation in that community. Especially what I think would be most important is some kind of a regional flood detention or something like that. That would be a regional effort. And then that would enable the county to go through and maintain those culverts and get things on the local level to be effective in managing floods for that community. So that is exciting that we're finally at this point. And then personally, as you probably know, I'm not a real social media kind of guy. But I did see with the Facebook and the Twitter and all that how effective those tools are when you're looking at this. The phone was really not the primary tool in the PIO process for this. It was the Facebook, it was the Twitter, it was the, when it was working, the Nevada Floods Hotline. These things were used extensively, and we could watch and see the residents. They'd have a question, hey, I got a problem here, can you come and take a look at it? Jason Van Havel would see a message, and he would go and run and take care of something like that. Some of these things are minor, some were major, but social media made a huge difference in addition to Rennell and her team and keeping that Facebook going and all of that. So, really fun. Last but not least, an unrelated matter, I just want to remind us that we have a Planning Commission meeting here this Thursday, and we'll be hearing a solar field out in the extreme east of the Mark Twain area, not near the estates, and then also a cell tower out of Tri.
Thank you, Austin. Fire Chief, your hands.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chair. Our week started out on a little different note. Ours started out with icy roads up all night, probably Wednesday, Thursday, going into a structure fire about 2 in the morning on Friday, if I'm not mistaken, that we couldn't necessarily have that great of access because of a down power line across Lowestown. Took resources, had to go all the way around through Cartwright and back to the backside, so Virginia City Engine was there first. Virginia City Engine and Water Tender went. Water Tender couldn't make it. So that's kind of how our week started. Went into the EOC, or ECC, starting Saturday. Took over some operations there. Was asked to by Joe Curtis. Jeff Nevin, I just have to throw that out there, went to Lockwood as kind of a north operations person. Did a phenomenal job with the amount of water that was coming out of almost every orifice and direction down there. He did a very good job. So got us into Sunday snow events, and I could go into details, but I think that's been hit pretty well. The thing that I'm taking away from this is I was involved in the 95 floods, which people forget about, 97 floods, 2002 when we had snows that we had to send bulldozers in the Virginia City Highlands, 2005 floods, and we've never had, we've always done okay. This was the best team effort and best concentrated effort I've ever seen out of everybody. As you know, I'm retiring in June, but it's really so refreshing to see new faces coming into the ECC, like Sherry. And Vanessa says more than you think. You just have to listen. She has a lot to say, which is pretty comical. Austin coming into the picture. And Austin, 342 is open, right? That became a standing joke in the ECC over the last week or so. And then the ability for us to supplement and augment each other. We have some fire fuels equipment, heavy equipment, bulldozers, excavators. But our folks really worked well with Public Works, and I think better than ever. Our folks actually drove some of their snow plows. Their folks right now are working with us on a bulldozer recovery for a piece of heavy equipment stuck in the Highlands. But it's refreshing to see that from the 90s, late 80s to where we're at today, it's amazing. Very good job done by the whole team. A couple of people in our organization I just want to point out, there's a lot of names, but Jeff did a very good job running the North operations. Donnie Snyder is in charge of our fuels program, heavy equipment operator, spent 4 or 5 days in 6 Mile trying to keep that open for emergency ingress, egress, phenomenal operator. Jason Spelch drove a snowplow for us, Shane Dixon drove a snowplow. But it's that effort that makes Story County, I think, unique. So if there aren't any questions, I'll leave it at that. And it was probably one of the best teams I've ever had the pleasure to work with. So thank you, everyone.
Any questions for Jerry? No. Great.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jerry. From the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All of this plus thing is a tremendous segue into our financial statements, which I would like to go over with you. as We've got some mitigating circumstances. You have before you the financial statements for the year 2016 into June 30th. I thought I would prepare some notes, or at least a schedule of some things to see where we are historically, and to try and align ourselves at least for the next half of this year and also for the budget of 2017. You will see on page 4 of your financial statements that total assets from the previous year decreased about $10.2 million. This was due in a major effect to a PERS calculation that we had not done before, and also for an OPEB calculation which we had not done before. This was the last year that it was optional. We said that that since that was the thing we had to report, then we took a hit of about $15 million. Capital assets on page 8 increased about $3 million, which I'm pretty sure that most of this was infrastructure that we had capitalized during that period of time. And again on page 14, our statement of net assets, that decreased about $10.5 million for really all of the reasons for the two adjustments in PERS and OPEB. Our unreserved ending fund balance grew about $800,000, which is significantly less than it has in the past, but we have still, I consider, a fairly healthy position, financial position, and we you know, there's no magnifying glass, there's no really Ouija board that sits out there and tells us what's going to happen in the future, but I have a feeling that the landscape is going to change. We're going to take a look at this during our budget sessions and try and look at not only what's going to happen this next budget year, what happens what in the next two budget years. Revenues overall, I will say the taxes decreased about $200,000 from the previous year. This seems to be with our cap now sitting what it is, the rates were low to begin with for assessed valuation. They have now begun to come up, although we can only go up 3% on household and 8% on businesses, so it still remains low. Licensing and permits have increased about $900,000, which, you know, was pretty much due to Dean and Gary and all the permitting that they have done throughout the deal and in the industrial park. And charges for services went up about $800,000, and that was due to the contract that County Manager Whitten had with Tesla as far as reimbursables. So the total revenue went up about $1.6 million. Our debt, or our expenditures in overall, went up about $2.3 million, of which $1.7 million was in public safety. And another $500,000 was in streets and highways. So with the deterioration of the roads in the industrial park, and for the most part all around the county, we're going to see that probably remain the same, if not increase. And then our net revenues over expenditures was about $600,000 less than the previous year, which gives me some pause as to what our current operations are going to be and what those operations are going to be in the oncoming years. And then on page 17, you have a statement of activities, which kind of jumbles everything all together. Ending fund balances, capital assets, debt service, and whatever. And again, that number of $10 million came out. We're down about $12 million where we were from the previous year. And that was due to that $15 million hit that we've got in PERS and OPEC. The general fund has remained very stellar throughout the years. We have always been, since 2014, We've always been in double digits over budget in the revenue side and have always had a negative on the expenditure side. And there's a reason for that. A lot of it is being very conservative with what we do. On the revenue side, I will say that the taxes, property taxes, which we spend a lot of time on every year, we were only off about $100,000. And I think that's, when you take a look at that much valuation, and what the assessed valuation is, I think that the team did a very, very good job there. So on the expense side, we budget for what we think they're going to need, not to expend or do the what if, because we don't think that's appropriate. And we've done that forever. And so consequently, those projects that don't get done don't go back in. We start from scratch again. You have in front of you the 474 Fire District, which has been absolutely amazing in the last 3 years, depending, you know, especially because of all of the additional stuff that has to go on in the Highlands, or not in the Highlands, but in the industrial park, and all the services that they provide. And then the on page 37, this is always something that we have to let our Department of Taxation know in writing as to what happened, and this is excess expenditures over income, and you will see all of those on in 2016, all of those from my discussions with the department heads, they're all valid. They're all explainable, so consequently, I don't have a problem with them. And I will make that presentation during the next board meeting as to what our recommendations were, how they happened, how we're probably going to try and protect ourselves in the future from doing that. This next one on page 41 is always something that I look to County Manager Whitten on. And I always make a comment that our available borrowing capacity is $51 million. Now, I know he wouldn't try and spend it all, but we have, just to show you our what they think about our spending capacity, that's a lot of money. And then our general obligation bonds, you will see on page 40, the big one being the USDA sewer bond of almost $3 million, and that will go up about another four. Because this year we're going to expend a lot of those funds on the final phase, I think 2 through 5, of the sewer project. So we will now be on we will now have out of that 12+ million dollar project, we're only on the line for about 4. So I think that was a great deal. And then of course from a perspective that is where we're seeing this $10 million and $15 million calculations come in, those are both on page 79, which is the net pension liability, and page 80 of the state, of the other thing, which is the pension liability, which is one. But the other one to probably look at is the statement of abatements on page 80. Which gives you a little idea of pretty much what SB 1 did for that year. And we will continue to do that year after year. The recommendations from the auditors, I think, we will again do those recommendations for, at our next meeting, and then we'll show you, we'll actually give you what our method of improvement and how we're going to try and prevent that for the following year. So that's it for the financial statements, but I do have one more thing. During my flight home from Florida, of which it was 88 degrees, there was a piece in the USA Today, and it says, resolutions we would like to see for the upcoming year. And the first one is spend less time with Twitter, more on the Constitution, and that is President-elect Donald Trump. Spend less time with email, more on Wisconsinites, Michiganers, and Pennsylvanians, that's Hillary Clinton. There was another one that says, stay on your own damn plane. That was Bill Clinton. We have a thing that stay clear of those five-hour energy drinks. That was Senator Tim Kaine, a Democrat from Virginia. And then the next one was, try those five-hour energy drinks, and that was Jeb Bush. Not repeat yourself, not repeat yourself, not repeat yourself. Senator Marco Rubio, the Republican from Florida. And buy a newspaper, Libertarian Gary, what is Aleppo Johnson. I mean, that I can, that's just, that's nuts. Then there was buy a comb, Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont. Keep debate questions to myself. That's the former Democratic National Committee official, Dana Brazil. Keep my hands off the talent. That's former Fox News chief, Roger Ailes. And then there was, unfriend each other. That was Sean Penn and Mexican drug lord El Capo. Drop my smartphone plan for good, Anthony Weiner. And then there was another one here. Go back to giving out toasters. That's Wells Fargo. Invest in antivirus software. That's Yahoo. And last but not least, do it begin before 2124. That's the Chicago Cubs.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Thank you for the comic relief. Mr. Gansberry, were you going to go over this SCCRT data? Great. Tom Gansberry next, our tax expert.
For the record, Tom Gansberry. Well, I'm excited today to stand in front of you folks and give you some good news on the SCCRT sales tax revenue. If you recall, in February and March of 2015, I stood before you trying to give you information on a decision you had to make on getting off the SCCRT guarantee program. You guys had discussed that in prior years, and with a lot of discussion, you stayed on the guaranteed program, and I think that was a wise choice several years back. But in 2015, we had around 18 months of strong collection of data, and it showed that if you got off the guaranteed program, that you would probably get more money for that SCCRT sales tax revenue. If you recall, the only downside on getting off that program was that you could never go back. And I think that was the thing that scared us in prior years, but we felt we needed to make the decision, and you guys made the decision to get off the guaranteed program. So starting in July of 15, your distribution was based on collections. So I started tracking that, and as you can see, for FY16, the gains were there. They were small, and then we had a kind of a blip there in November where we were at a loss. We were at a loss in January and February, but when I made my presentation back in 15, I forewarned you on that those were months that the collections were always low and that we could be in the loss. But But after that, after February, we started realizing some good gains. And at the end, the last month of 16, June of 16, we had a gain of $98,600. I want to explain a little bit there. That number is a little skewed. If you look over there to the FY16 actual distribution for the month of June, the distribution was $223,400, where the collection was less, $171,29. I inquired about that at taxation, and they reported to me that there was an error in a filing. 1 month there in fiscal 16, the taxpayer caught it, paid the taxes on the error, so they went ahead and distributed that money at the end of the fiscal year. So I just wanted to point that out, that that's not a typo, that's actually what happened. Then I also gave you a report for the first 4 months of fiscal year 17, July through October, and those 4 months combined, we're at a gain already of $210,000. So if you look at the 16 months there that I reported, we are at about $358,000 ahead of what we would have been at the guaranteed amount. So right now it looks like it was a good decision. I'll continue to monitor this. I send this report to Hugh and Pat each month, and anytime I see something that doesn't look right, I'll inquire with taxation for an explanation.
These are good numbers, Tom.
Yeah,
they're great.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. And again, even with that skewed number in June, looking at June and then, the first 4 months of 17, I'm liking those results.
So is Mr. Gallagher, since he stated his career on this.
So. That's pretty good.
Right. Do you have any questions for Tom?
So this is a monthly, is reviewed monthly?
Yes. There's a two-month lag because we've got the month that we're looking at. The taxpayer has a month to report to taxation. And the taxation usually, it takes them about 3 weeks to compile all the data and then get the distribution out. Next week now, I will be getting the November number, probably the middle of next week or toward the end, around the 26th or 27th. So I'll be updating this, maybe a week from this Friday, or that last Monday in January, and again, I'll send that out. And another thing I'd like to point out, and I might adjust this model, where I have the collections, mm-hmm. that again is both in-state and out-of-state collections. If you go on the taxation's website, they will have those numbers separated out, but for my model, I've just combined them. But if you would like to see those separated out, I could adjust this. And then that will give you, what kind of money is coming in from the out-of-state collections.
Okay. So, Tom, when we look at the correction for June of 2016,
yes.
So it was the taxpayer that went ahead and caught his mistake and then went ahead and corrected that with taxation.
That's what was conveyed to me.
So that once again goes ahead and reiterates Dean's efforts at the TRI, when we have companies out that are building to make sure they're reporting accurately to the state on what county they're in.
Because, yes.
Right there, you look at a substantial amount of sales taxes that are collected.
Right. Yeah, if you look just at the month above, in May, you had collections of 179, distribution of 135. So then the collection number for June was relatively the same, 171. So you would have expected maybe, again, a number like 135, 130, but it was increased to 223. So it was an error that, made a big difference.
Yeah, about $88,000.
Yeah.
Yes.
So significant, yeah.
That's great. Thanks for compiling this. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you.
You bet.
This is great. This is great information.
Yeah.
Next up, District Attorney Langer. In fact, you want to start the clock?
Yeah, I think I'll start the clock. Okay, the minute clock is on. I just wanted to point out to the commissioners and the community that I was not part of the emergency management team, but I had the privilege to be able to listen in on probably about 11 hours worth of watching the team work together. So I was able to hear everyone's voices. I was able to hear what was going on as I was sitting there drinking my cup of coffee. So what I have to say is that this group made it appear effortless on a huge emergency situation. The voices were calm. Everybody worked together as a team. And it's not very often that you see that, especially when people are not used to maybe other people's personalities. It's not always end up to be something like that. But I think that there's a reason why Sherry Nevin is the community relations coordinator. She coordinated, orchestrated, got everything put together on all those meetings. And then each time we had an update, it was not only an update, but there was a new event that was being handled again, and people were being called, and things were being done. And then I hear on 9 a.m., after all that, Sherry had gone down to Costco to pick things up for everybody. So I just want to say that I was on the sidelines on this one. I learned a lot about emergency management, and I'm very proud to be part of Story County with the group that worked so well together and got so many things done during a crisis, during an emergency situation. Because those are really when you know what people's metal, what you're made of. It's okay when you go every day in life and things are going your way, but when you get an emergency, you really see how things are done, and I'm just proud to know the people that have put this together.
Thanks, Ms. Langer. County Manager Whitman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I've tried to hold back on comments. I do want to recognize Tom in particular for a sidebar project that he's on that's very important to us. Our legislative lobbyist or action committee that meets usually I think every 2 weeks now as we enter the 17 session does have some focus on seeing if we can get some modicum of diesel fuel tax indexing or fuel tax indexing. And Tom has been phenomenal working with Mary and Steve at the Walker Group, trying to get them quality data for the region, for the four counties, and for the state. So thank you for all that, Tom. I've got a few unrelated storm notes, and then I'm going to wrap up everything, I think. Unrelated to the storm, but also kind of a victim that we have. As you know, our servers and our staff for IT have been housed in the basement of the training center, which is not an optimal place, especially when it rains. We are in the process right now of moving our equipment, probably temporarily and then long term. And then our staff, hopefully as we speak today, is in the process of relocating for a temporary midterm solution at St. Mary's Art Center. I want to thank not only Erica and the team, but also Vanessa and Commissioner McGuffey and everybody that has helped make that happen. It was great to have a quick solution in the midst of everything. Many of you noticed, probably, I'm sure, although we've not made specific note of it, that Commissioner Gilman is absent today. That was an absence that he begged me to approve, such as it is. As we speak, he is doing something that I can assure you he hates to do, and that is fly, cross country. But he is on his way back to attend the inauguration, and based on some information and schedules that he was feeding me, sounds like it's going to be an action-packed time back there and not just going back to look at the inaugural or participate. He may even have the opportunity through, I think, Senator Heller's office to actually have a brief meeting with the president-elect. So quite a notch in the belt for Story County, I think. And two other things. One is if you hear a rumble on the roof, duck. As you know, we had our emergency declaration meeting, I think at 1 o'clock, as I recall, on or maybe 12 on Saturday, whatever date, that whatever time that was. And shortly thereafter, a chimney on this side of the courthouse building decided 200 years or however long you've been up there, I haven't been up there that long, but 150 or so, decided it was time just to go ahead and slide off the roof. So we're missing a chimney. Actually, we have it. It's just in pieces in the bottom of the ground. And we'll be going through the necessary insurance claims and everything. And thank you, Jason, for making sure we're halfway short up. And Gary, I think your guys are still back to their bucket patrol from time to time. So, and I want to get back to that in just a second because that's really going to be my closing theme. Next off, I'd be remiss if I didn't recognize him. As I told him this morning, his timing sucks. In the middle of all this, where literally almost every emergency type person was tied up, including him, he had to break loose, probably take off the yellow vest for a minute, and look halfway official as he sat up with a panel of 10 people recognized by Northern Nevada's Business Weekly as the 10 most influential people in Nevada or Northern Nevada. So congratulations goes out to Dean Haymore. It is a very distinguished recognition, and just sorry that all of us could not be there, but that doesn't diminish the accomplishments and the recognition. Congratulations, Dean. And I think in the end, I kind of want to go back to, you know, that teamwork, that Jason making sure the roof's okay, Dean also from a building standpoint, Gary's guys from the bucket patrol. And one of the words you've heard today are teamwork, teamwork, teamwork. And there are so many instances that I think have been well summarized, others that could be but don't need to. But I'm going to tell you, it was the quality of the team, both internal and external. Nicole, I very seldom single you out, but I know you put a very informational, good informational update out after our meetings within a day or two. And I would ask that the message come back loud and clear from me, from our team, that two people definitely and more to be very, very proud of are Jay Carmona and Gary Brownwell. I mean, those guys were in there every day, every night. You know what it's like when people are tired beyond their last ounce, yet they find that reserve to go ahead and kick in. They were a joy to work with, I think, in all of our perspectives. And we were, the Highlands in particular, were very, very lucky. I mean, Jay didn't care if you were a 1, a 10, a 40, or a 2. You know, he just took care of it. And as did Gary. So I applaud that part of the team, definitely. The flow and the teamwork between Public Works and Fire District were thrilling to watch. You know, Guy Chief mentioned it. You know, at one point in time, we needed to send some equipment out, and Jason had the equipment, but he didn't have the people. We had either burnt them out or had them elsewhere on other pieces of equipment. Gary had Donnie and one other operator, I'm not sure who we used, and they went out there and, you know, it kind of reminds me of a movie a long, long time ago called Airport. I think it was O'Hare Airport, where they fired up the plows and just, you know, came charging in. So, you know, in the end, I just want to thank everybody from Ed Burnett. For those of you that don't know Ed, and I just mispronounced his name, it's Burnett, and I know that. Ed's a VC local, Ed and Molly. Molly had the flower shop for many years. Ed called us in the middle of all this and said, my boss is at Q&D, want to know whatever you want, you get from us. And by God, it was about 2 hours later, I think we needed something, and it was here. So it was those partnerships throughout the entire thing. National Weather Service, I mean, Chris Smallcomb, that guy is phenomenal. If there's a Hall of Fame for federal employees, he should definitely be on it. By the way, as we speak, at 10 o'clock this morning, Weather Service had yet again their annual or their daily weather briefing, and Jennifer McCain sat in for us, and the slides are out, and I want to share some of Chris's from NWS's advice. He says, my advice is seldom cheap. He says, take advantage of the generally quiet weather today and tomorrow by continuing to clean up from the last series of storms. Next, this is something that Austin stressed over and over and over again, that Chris, I hope you will when we put out our e-blast today. Keep your flood mitigation measures in place for the next week or two. You know, we've already had calls saying, where do I take my sandbags back? And the answer is don't. Leave them right where they are. Make sure that they did what they were supposed to do or still can, and be prepared for the next. And we do have a series of storms coming through. You know, Chris, while I think he's probably the best weather forecaster out there, is still a weather forecaster, so I'm not going to talk about his probabilities and strengths and everything. But there are a series of more storms coming through, and, hey, it's January. So with that, I am so, so, so proud of our team, many of which are sitting out here, and many of which, for each of the people that are here, are not here today. Jason mentioned his crew, Gary's crew, Dean's crew that's out there again today doing the work, Ballard's crew and dispatch. And if, you know, Austin mentioned social media, you know, if you can't get something and you want to get it from a dispatcher, by God, now all you got to do is log on to Facebook on Story County Communications. I learned stuff. So, you know, again, I applaud everybody that's here. I applaud Team Story that was behind you. You guys did a phenomenal job. Thank you very much. That's it.
Any questions for Pat?
No.
Okay, good enough. County Clerk, Dennis Williams?
I don't know. It's hard to get you.
All right, that concludes this item. We're going to move on to item number 7, the board comment. We'll take no action or any public comment. Commissioner McGuffey.
Yes, well, all I can do is reiterate what Joe and Pat's already said, but I want you to hear it from me. I'm totally impressed. Going to these emergency management meetings, the commissioners that were there, even Pat wasn't feeling so well, but all we do is sit in the back and watch them work. These people are awesome. So Joe really led a charge there. It went smooth. I couldn't believe it. There was a total can-do attitude with everybody that was there. And that was from everybody from, you know, from Joe to Jason. We got your Dean. Austin, Dave Ballard, Gary, and Jeff. I mean, it's like you've done this before. I couldn't believe how smooth that all went. Maybe it wasn't inside of you, but from the outside looking in, you guys were just like you were born for this. It was great. I think it was all because of the can-do attitude, and that wasn't just. Team, you know, I think Team Story grew a whole lot bigger during this event. To see Jay Carmona, the Highlands president out there, and then Gary Brownwell, they jumped in. When they realized that they were in trouble, they called. Now we're all part of Team Story, and we're making it happen, getting the roads, getting people unstuck, and it was quite a feat. So my hat's off to you all. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack. Yeah, I wish we had more residents in attendance today that could hear everyone's presentations on what went on during this event, because it was a pretty major event up there. I mean, you know, I can only commend the staff and the directors and almost every elected official in the county. Everybody participated. As Joe Curtis pointed out, how competent and qualified everyone is and the professionalism that went into this stuff. I'm not going to go on about it because everything's been said here for the last hour on what a fine job everybody did. But I think one of the good decisions behind all this, too, is when the county manager Witten decided we're going to purchase that bank building down there. It could have worked out for a better location for all of the things that we needed to have everybody there. We had all the telecommunications there with the phone and the internet, plenty of room to set up all of your charts and stuff, and plenty of room and for everyone to work, adequate parking down there, a nice, clean, warm environment. So we have our own little jail cell there, too, if anybody gets out of line. So that's a pretty good thing, too. So anyway, Everything's worked out so far so good, but be vigilant because we got more coming. And as you see where all the snow has been piling up around town, and of course we've been able to utilize Hugh Roy Marshall's property to the north end of town to store some of this. We're running out of places to store the snow. So all of you who have been praying for no snow, for more snow during this drought event, please stop praying now. We don't need any more snow right now.
We're going to move on now. We've continued item 8 to the next regularly scheduled meeting, and now we're going to move on to item number 9, this discussion of possible action, approval of the National Radon Action Month Proclamation. Ms. Nevin, and ladies from Nevada, University of Nevada Cooperative Extension.
Correct, yeah.
Great.
Good morning, Commissioners. Sherry Nevin for the record. January is National Radon Action Month, and we have with us here today two folks from the UNR Cooperative Extension Radon Program, Nadia and Susan. I'm going to turn it over to them and let them give you a brief presentation on Radon Action Month.
Good morning. Thanks for making the trek up here, and thanks for enjoying the meeting up to this point.
It was very interesting. Thank you, Chairman and Commissioners, for this opportunity.
No Congress, not yet.
Hopefully soon, right? Thank you for this opportunity for us to come and present information about Radon and National Radon Action Month. This proclamation, your support, is essentially very important to us, as is Radon as a primary cause of lung cancer in non-smokers and the secondary cause in smokers. Testing is the only way to determine if your home has an elevated level of radon. In observance of National Radon Action Month, the Cooperative Extension is giving out free test kits throughout the state from now until February 28th. And we're partnering with the Story County Library, as well as the Carson City Cooperative Extension Office to provide test kits. So if any of you in the audience are interested in getting a test kit, they're available there. And so another opportunity to get a test kit is from our presentations throughout the state. One that's coming up shortly is in the Carson City Senior Center. That's at 6:30 p.m. tomorrow. So if you're interested in learning more about radon, there's a presentation then. Testing is very important in Story County. 31% of the homes that have been tested have been found to have an elevated level of radon. And an elevated level is 4 picocuries per liter or higher. And that's just a number, remember. The highest level we found in Story County is 9.3 picocuries per liter. Every home has a different level, and it's affected by geological factors and the makeup of the home. So maps and statistics or a neighbor's result doesn't determine the level of your home, so testing is the only way to find out. The EPA recommends testing every 2 years, especially if there's seismic activity or before and after remodeling. There's good news, though. The risk of lung cancer can be reduced if someone tests their home for radon and they discover there's an elevated level and they fix it, they can reduce their chances of developing lung cancer. You have test kits in your bags that Susan's going to pass out in a second, and you also have information about radon and the statistics for this county as well as throughout the state and information about mitigation. If you are unable to use your test kit, please pass along to a friend, family member, someone in the audience who may be interested in getting a test kit. Every home needs to be tested, so if you're not able to use a test kit, we appreciate passing it on because it does cost us money to give out these free test kits, and we want them to be used to protect people's lung health. For more information about radon, you can visit our website. It's radonnv.com. You can also call our hotline if you have any questions. It's 1-888-RADON-10. And also if you want any help with figuring out how to test your home. You can also find us at Facebook, at Nevada Radon Education, as well as on Twitter, at NV Radon Program. And that's pretty much my short presentation. Yeah.
That's great.
I don't really have any questions.
Okay, let's go.
Would you like us to read the proclamation out loud, or...
Sure. Well, I'll ask if there's any public comment regarding this before we go on to it. Anybody have any questions? Yes? No? Sure. Go ahead and read the proclamation.
Okay. We have in front of us today a proclamation declaring January 2017 as National Radon Action Month in Story County, Nevada. Whereas many Story County residents don't know about radon, yet need to know for the safety and health of their families, as radon is a colorless, odorless, naturally occurring radioactive gas that is the leading cause of lung cancer among non-smokers, the second leading cause of lung cancer in smokers. And whereas the U.S. EPA estimates 21,000 people in the U.S. die each year from lung cancer caused by indoor radon exposure, and lung and bronchus cancer kill more people in a year than any other cancer. And whereas radon kills more people than secondhand smoke, drunk driving, falls in the home, drowning, or home fires. And whereas any home in Story County may have elevated levels of radon, even if neighboring homes do not. And living in a home with an average radon level of 4 picocuries per liter of air poses a similar risk of developing lung cancer as smoking half a pack of cigarettes a day. And whereas testing is the only way to know if a home has an elevated radon level, and testing is easy and inexpensive, and when identified, homes can be fixed. And whereas University of Nevada Cooperative Extension, the Nevada Division of Public and Behavioral Health, and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency support efforts to encourage all Story County residents to test their homes for radon, mitigate elevated levels of radon, and have new homes built with radon-reducing materials and features. Now, therefore, you, the Story County Board of County Commissioners, do hereby proclaim January 2017 as National Radon Action Month in Story County, Nevada.
Great. Can I get a motion, Jack?
I move to proclaim January 2017 as National Radon Month in Story County.
Second your motion. We move to second. We proclaim January 2017 as National Radon Action Month in Story County. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Terrific. Ms. Howe, Ms. Noel, thank you for coming up today.
And I'm assuming we would like to get a quick picture.
Sure.
They like to have those.
You'll get that to Chris in 2 minutes. If you have one, we'll give it to the clerk. Thank you.
How about the commissioner that isn't
here? Okay, we'll get him.
Lee, you want to come on over here? Why don't you two stand right with your jacket on?
I should do my cheese.
Oh, you're going to get official?
No.
Can you close
him? There
you go.
Okay. Yeah. Ready? I don't know. I might need to do this.
Aren't you supposed to be ready? In a picture?
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
I should have taken the picture later, if I didn't want the picture taken. Yeah.
I'll get it to him. Thank you very much.
All right, next item up was item number 10. This is discussion of possible action, approval of the second reading of the general out-of-county business license for Allied Barton Security Systems, LLC, an out-of-county security guard service provider to Story County. Sheriff.
It's a company that's been in business for over 10 years in the state of Nevada. They've met all their state requirements for licensing and everything. They appear to be in good standing across the board. And from what I understand, they've paid all their fees to Story County that are requisite for doing business here. So I would recommend their approval.
Okay. Have they ever done business in the county before?
I don't know if they actually have contracts going right now or if they are just looking to get some contracts. I believe that they are doing some stuff down on another thing, but where they're actually at in that process. They have their main headquarters, it looks like, in the state is out of Las Vegas.
Okay. Good. Any public comment regarding this second reading business license? Hearing none, if I can get a motion for approval.
I motion to approve the second reading of the general out-of-county business license for Allied Barton Security Services, LLC. And they're from 777 North Rainbow Road, number 170, Las Vegas, Nevada 89107.
Second your motion. It's been moved to second to approve the business license for Allied Bart Security Services. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you, Sheriff. Moving along now to item number 11. This is discussion of possible action, approval of licensing board second readings. Mr. Haymore.
Commissioners, I would recommend approval of all the second readings from A through double F. All of them are out-of-state contractor licenses or contractor licenses. And then Aqua Metals is one that's down there that has met all the fire department and building department for their main building, and we give a C of O to them.
Okay. We're finally there.
Finally there.
Yeah. Good. All right.
So all of them.
Everything. A through double F.
Do we need to read them off?
We usually do. Okay. Please read the names. Road and Highway Builders, that is just a contractor's license at this time. Nevada Office Machine, Inc., EGC Construction, LLC. Augusta Fiberglass Coating, Inc., Isra Surface Vision, Premier Automation Contractors, Douglas A. Miles Residential Designer, Clean Air Production, Sunset Consulting Group, LLC, Carl Ziz Industrial Methodology, LLC, Star 2 Star Communication, LLC, Java Electrical, LLC, Robert Musgrove, doing business as Sports Kids of America, that's a home business, Intelligent Fire Systems and Solution, that is a contractor, fire alarm contractor, J.R. Pierce Plumbing Company, contractor, Duncan Machinery Moving, LLC, Wallace Steel, Inc., Chasen USA, Inc., KS Control, Inc., East Tech GmbH Contractor, Advantage Industrial Systems, LLC, Aerotech, Inc., Saban America, Inc., STS Temp, Inc., ESSG, doing business as STS Staffing and Temporary Services, Shoe In, Inc., Surge Staffing, KS Schreiber Runfield, GM Contractor, out of Germany, a Bayside Insulation Contractor, Mr. David Floors, Inc., Contractor, Energy Mechanical Insulation, Inc., the Electrical Company, and then Aqua Metals Renewal, Inc.
Very good.
Any questions?
Yeah. Anybody have any public comment regarding any of these licensees? Hearing none, we get a motion for approval.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve licensing board second readings A through EFF.
Double F. Okay. I'll second your motion. A motion on the floor to approve all second license readings A through double F. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Moving along now to item number 12, public comment. Ms. Bard, come on down.
Nicole Bard, Virginia City Highlands President. First of all, you guys are awesome and wonderful. It's all been said before, but as one of the only few public that attends these meetings, I'd like to say on behalf of the Highlands that without you guys helping Jay and Gary, because I was in contact with Jay at least, we wouldn't have gotten out. You know that. So bless you and thank you. As someone who, this is only the second time in 10 days I've been out of my bathrobe because I haven't been able to get out of my house for almost 10 days. Just being able to get out and see the sun is a wonderful thing. When Jay communicated to us via the board that the county was loaning us both equipment and manpower, I mean, there was this huge sigh of relief because we've got equipment on the 10 side, we've got equipment on the 1 side, and the equipment was breaking down very, very fast. And so we were looking at, you know, a zero window of being able to get some of the really critical areas out. So thank you for doing that for us. We're indebted. I have one question that when Dean was giving his update on the assessments, the damage assessments, are you looking at doing, you know, for example, in the Highlands, the damage assessment on our roads, is that part of the total assessment that you guys are going to be doing, or is it only on county-maintained infrastructure?
And I can answer that without bringing Dean back up. Our attitude going in, we want to be very careful how we present this to the people that we are assessing, not present to FEMA, but to the roads people, is we want to include everything. We're not judge and jury. FEMA is. If FEMA has a multitude of programs, some cases it may be eligible for reimbursement if it's local government infrastructure. In other cases, the roads might be looked at differently than someone else's landscaping. So the answer to your question specifically is include it all, and then we will let FEMA sort out what is and isn't eligible based on that, assuming we get a presidential declaration.
Okay, so in that assessment, is it it's county property? Is it also personal resident property?
The answer is yes, all.
Okay.
Now, again, I want to caveat that by saying that we assess it and include it does not mean
does
it
not mean you
necessarily
get paid. No, I understand that. So that being said, what's the time frame to do the first level and/or second level assessment, and then how do you get the word out to all of the residents that says, hey, you may not get a penny, but here's a form or here's a website to go to, you know, submit your items for damage assessment to then, you know, have somebody come out and look at it or whatever.
You want to come up and answer that more detailed one?
Because if this is time critical, we need to get that out to folks because I'm sure they're going to want to really fill it out.
So I brought Sherry up there because we had to provide a number to the state for all residents, and they were given our number. So at 847-0966, any damage per anything of the flood needs to come into my office. I think Austin, and they put that out in the public announcements and things like that, and hopefully the newspapers will put that out. So if you had any damage, you call our office. We will come and do a report, take pictures and everything else. And then, as Pat says, when FEMA gets here, if they get here, then we will weed that out and let them weed that out. Typically, once there's a presidential disaster declared, within a week, the FEMA teams come in. There are briefings. We will invite everybody to the different briefings where they fit into. So when we come and take a report, we're going to take the information. Contact information, too. I just told my staff that. There'll be pictures taken, and then there'll be estimates that we figured come up to. And so with that, Sherry, what else does the state? The state will put out in the news media when the disaster is made if you have to contact these numbers.
The state is still working on preliminary damage assessments in other counties that'll help them make their case for a federal declaration. I think they may have finished that up yesterday. They were in Lyon and Douglas counties. So they've been working, you know, from the time most of us declared a state of emergency until now in preparing everything they need to prepare to send up to the feds. So as Joe mentioned, it's looking pretty good that we may get a federal declaration. We can't. You know, we can't say that's going to happen for sure, but it will be a long process, I can tell you that. It doesn't happen overnight, and there's no guarantee that personal property owners will receive funding to fix any issues that they may have had. The Small Business Administration will step in at some points and offer low-interest loans, as well as the USDA and various other programs. So we'll share all of that as we no more on the federal declaration.
And having gone through this before, you know, I think I can best summarize the time constraints as typical federal government, hurry up and wait, hurry up and wait. In some cases, they recognize the waters haven't even receded yet. So, you know, for in Painted Rock, for instance, you know, we want a bridge inspector to be able to look. But last I knew, there was still too much water. They're actually, by the way, NDOT is sending underwater divers, not necessarily to Painted Rock, but they're bringing them in from Colorado. Yeah, from Colorado. But we'll try to publicize it. We'll hope that people like you will repeat that. Austin's been very good about getting stuff to Jim Poston to post out there. And it's something we'd rather know about it than not right now.
Okay. Just
a great question.
So
get my number. I'll give you my card. The office, get my number out there for our office at the card. And the girls are ready. They're setting up spreadsheets, dispatch seats. We're documenting.
Okay, perfect. That's it. Thank you.
And before Nicole leaves, I want to applaud her. I'm not sure what the right word is.
Hold on. Dean.
So any Highlands residents that had some severe damage or needed assistance, should they go to the effort of having some pictures taken?
Yes, everybody that has any kind of damage, if it was from the flood, if it's covered or not, contact us. We will do a report. It'll be logged into our total preliminary damage assessment. And then from the federal government, there's different categories and different sections. And then they'll come in and say it's in here. We'll have a pile that goes here. And they will have inspectors that will go back out and look at everything. Now, residential, I don't know exactly how they'll handle that, but we'll have briefings on everything. And then we'll set our team up to go back with their team. Everyone will be a member. And then they measure. They do everything. And I do have to thank Gary. Gary gave me Fritz to be on our team. And Fritz was very instrumental in doing a lot of the damage in Lockwood and Painted Rock and Triforce. So it was across departments that we put the teams together. We had a short order because we had to let them know about the roads and the bridges immediately, and then we had the state show up right next to that, and we had to go out with the state. And they sent three people with us, and we covered the whole county.
So this is flood only.
Yeah. This
not
is what
any snow damage that ripped off
this,
a roof or the wind.
The snow is part of this event too.
Okay.
It came in after the flood, and we're not going to say if it was or not because we're still in that emergency.
Okay. Right.
And so snow counts too.
Snow flood.
May count.
May.
So finally, if your question was answered, I wanted to thank and recognize Nicole's not only her demeanor, but I believe her disaster preparedness, because I think in the thick of things, if you can find some humor and smile, I believe it was your blog that said, I'm snowed in for the third day, fifth day, whatever, but it's warm and I have wine.
Yeah,
so,
well,
great
know.
Job.
I have supplies. Thank you.
Thanks, Nicole. Any other public comment? Hearing none, the meeting's adjourned. Hey, Dean, can I talk to you and Jason for a second before you guys blast out?